Direct. From Guano Productions headquarters in the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex. It's like honey in your ear holes.
Welcome, everybody, to The Superiority Complex, episode 217. Number 217.
At least that was right.
In the official, there's more than that. But I don't know, it's weird. We have more than 217. But
this is a 217th canon episode.
Yeah, 217th full episode. We've done a lot of little one-offs here and there. And
everything else.
Special episodes.
That's not canon. This is canon.
First episode of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Are you talking about canon like the fat detective canon?
Yes.
What are you talking about?
I love that. Buddy Ebsen's all, that's not canon. I don't believe that's canon.
We've got Renee on the boards today. We're gonna go backwards this time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so Renee's on the boards.
Hello.
And then we got Justine.
Yeah.
And then John.
Howdy.
And then Patrick.
Hi.
And then Jake.
Hi.
And then me. Hello.
Stop sounding like me. That's bad. It's not good when you respond the exact same way.
Yeah, I know.
You guys look good. What's going on, everybody? Is everybody having a good week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's doing great?
Yeah.
Yes, excited to be here.
We got exciting news from Patrick. If you've not seen it, I'm going to retweet. But Patrick did a drawing. Oh, no. I want to know how you did that because it looks really rad. He did a new logo for Brent and PJ over at the Home Video Hustle. And it is amazing.
They've been patiently waiting for like 6 months.
It looks fantastic.
For a very long
time. It looks really, really good. I knew nothing of this, of course. I mean, why would I? I'm only the host of this show.
I told you about it.
I'm just kidding.
You're such a
but
jerk.
It's super
Thanks
awesome.
For redoing ours, by
is
the way.
Is that it?
No, that's not it. This is for me to poop on. This is from the Castaways conversation right now. And that's from Beside a Geek. He's responding to someone. He's responding to...
But I will say this. Still not used yet.
What's that?
Oh, they didn't use it yet.
Not yet.
Well, they didn't put out an episode this week. That's why. So yesterday I got in a great conversation with Posada Geek, Stork over at Posada Geek, and Brent from Home Video Hustle, the three of us, and then guest Michael Bagford, a listener, Michael Bagford. And we talked, we did about 4 hours worth of chatting that Brent was trying to decide how he was going to edit or release, because I guess PJ's not available this week.
Yeah.
And Anchor lost the audio.
Anchor,
the app Anchor. So
that's the entire show.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so that we talked for 4 hours, but it was great because it was a good conversation. We had fun, and I feel like Beside a Geek and I bonded finally. I feel like he's not keeping me at arm's length anymore.
He brought you close,
but I will reach like Bob in the beginning of Fight Club. But I will retweet that photo that I was waiting to announce it on the show before we retweeted.
It turned out nice.
It turned out great. How did you do that? What medium did you use?
I was using my iPad Pro. They have a great app called Procreate. It's like Photoshop.
It's really cool.
Yeah, works really well.
Nice.
It'd be nice to have a new logo for
I
us,
actually do
it?
Have somebody working on taking a stab at it.
Yeah.
Not to insult Patrick, but
no,
somebody
it's okay.
Close to me.
Mm-hmm. Your daughter? That's adorable.
I am actually, I would be very excited for that.
Yeah, she's going to try to do, she's been trying to work, kind of. She's been busy, so I'm like, when you get time, don't make it a priority.
That stuff takes time.
It does. I don't want to rush it, and she's the worst because she's going to be like, I don't like it. I don't like it. It's awful. Don't put it up there. It will remind me of how bad I was an artist yesterday.
That's
the impersonation of my daughter.
That's
exactly. Is that how she sounds now?
Mm-hmm.
the Casablanca guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Her voice
don't
got
put
lower.
The art up, father.
Help me.
So now she's a 45-year-old bug-eyed Hungarian.
My wife actually got a tattoo
of a
sketch that my daughter drew of a mouse.
Really?
And my wife has it on. And every day my daughter, and this is how, she's such the artist, she's like, ugh, it's a constant reminder of how bad of an artist I was a year ago. I'm like, get out of town.
See, your mom puts it on her arm.
I already
arm.
Hate the thing I did for Brent and PJ. I'm like, I could have done so much better.
Yeah, well, we can all do better, can't we, Justine? Anyway.
Yes, she can.
What else do we have? We have Avengers coming. Has everybody got their tickets for Avengers?
I do. I've got 2 tickets.
I'm just going to walk in.
Yeah.
See what happens.
You think they take walk-ins?
Front row. It's almost like that now, right? Do you have your reservations for the Avengers? Infinity? I saw some spoilers online.
I haven't.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Well, because overseas, it's already out.
Oh, that's right. Like in China, they've already seen it, probably.
It got a 9.4 something on IMDb so far.
Is that true? Oh, and you saw something on from New Zealand, right?
No, I didn't see anything. My friend told me, like, as soon as he saw it, he, like, posted on Facebook. He told me, like, there's spoilers, Renee, and I was like, okay, so I literally logged off of everything.
This sounds very, very familiar to me for the last season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I saw the last scene, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, where the dragon comes up out of the ice. I saw that a week before the episode came out, and I was so pissed.
Yeah, somebody hacked into it. Mad. Yeah. They got that whole last episode, like, 2 weeks before it aired. Yeah.
Ugh, that was painful.
I remember that.
That is a bummer.
But there are people looking at the posters going, oh, so-and-so's not on the poster. He must be dead.
Yeah, everybody makes assumptions.
I don't mind. Personally, I don't mind spoilers. I don't like giving them. Mm-hmm. But if somebody gets spoiled for me, I still like to see how it pans out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nobody wants to be that guy, though.
What are you going
to
do?
Yeah, I don't want to be the one to reveal the spoiler, though. Yeah. That sucks.
We did go to the movies last week.
What did you see?
We finally saw Ready Player One, and we saw I Love Dogs.
Ah!
Both were fantastic. Ready Player One was a huge surprise to me, at least. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it as much as I did. It was a lot of fun. And then I Love Dogs was fantastic.
It's amazing to me that it just dawned on me within the last week that that's a play on Isle of Lucy.
Well, it's a play on I Love Dogs.
I Love Dogs.
Because they got commercials now because they were playing that up.
Mm-hmm.
I Love Dogs. I Love Dogs.
I Love Dogs.
It was adorable.
That's great.
Typical Wes Anderson. It was very good.
What did you think, Justine?
It was good.
Six?
6 out of 10?
No. It's just not my top Wes Anderson movie.
What's your top Wes Anderson
movie? I probably closed my eyes 3 times during that movie.
Ooh. Because you were scared?
No.
Because you were blinking.
Bored. Those robot dogs were scary.
Bored.
Mm-hmm.
What's your top Wes Anderson movie?
I probably only missed like a minute here and there.
What is your top Wes Anderson movie?
My top?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's too hard.
That's not
What's
too
your top
hard.
Three?
Well, they're all tied all together.
What's your three-way tie for number one?
I got number one. It's Life Aquatic.
Wow.
That's my favorite.
How about that?
That's easy.
Wow.
Number one is Rushmore.
Wow. Rushmore is good, too.
Yeah, wow. Rushmore is good.
Wow. Nothing? Okay. Justine, what did you rate Ready Player One? Did you guys like it?
Yeah.
I loved it. It was great.
Yeah.
I like
Renee,
it
you finally
more.
Saw it too?
I finally saw it with them. Yeah, we saw it. They took me on the day. It was great. It was
awesome.
Great. I think the one scene that we loved was when they were trying to get the second key.
Yeah, don't say anything.
Yeah,
don't spoil it because I know people haven't seen it.
You guys weren't
expecting that, right?
No, not at all. So when I saw it, like each time something popped up, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then this one's never seen that movie, so she didn't get a single reference.
I only like the first one.
I was so pissed.
I haven't seen Ready Player One yet.
What's great is everybody in the theater kept giggling because they knew what was coming.
I was so confused.
Yeah.
Jake were doing.
I was not expecting that. And dude, they recreated it to a T.
Oh,
it looked exactly like
it. It looked like it was just taken. Right,
we can't tell you what it is, John. You have to go see Ready Player One.
Yep,
but I'm glad you liked it,
and I liked it more the second time.
You saw it again?
That was the second time I watched it. Yeah, and I liked it more.
Because you probably catch more.
Yeah, you do. You catch a
little
bit more.
There's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That racing scene was still like
that was still really cool.
Oh, King Kong.
That
was brutal.
John saw that in the trailer, right? We're not ruining that Kong is in it.
Everybody sees that one.
Mm-hmm. Everything's in it.
That's my favorite part.
John's not saying
I
anything.
Do
Which
suggest
Kong?
That people watch that movie.
Which Kong?
I would say the Peter Jackson Kong.
No.
It was really
It wasn't
well
Peter
done.
Jackson Kong. It was the older one.
No.
The Jeff Bridges?
The face looked Kong? Like it looked older.
Oh, did it?
Like the older one, yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, like stop motion?
No. Well, yeah. Like the stop. Well, the face looked like
it
the stop
Dino
motion
It was
Dino
De Laurentiis Kong.
Is this... who is this?
That's a rough.
Raphael, I just tore Raphael's arm off.
Oh, okay, that's okay.
Sorry, Ninja Turtle.
I didn't know that movie at all, so it was just very confusing the whole time. I was like, what the fuck?
It won't be on the Digital Movie Club, I don't think.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to take a page out of the Sci-Fi Double Feature Driving just did this thing where they're letting people pick which movies they would like to add for see them review. So I'm going to give, what I'm going to do is for probably May. We won't review them yet, but I'm going to let people do, it's going to be called Cinco de Mayo. And
yes.
I'm going to let people volunteer movies that we're going to add to the Digital Movie Club and we'll let them know if it's in there or not. And I'm going to pick 5 at random and we're going to add them to the list of stuff that we're going to do.
Are you calling it Cinco de Mayo or Cinema de Mayo?
Ooh, Cinco de Mayo.
It was worth a shot.
All right. Speaking of Cinco de Mayo, it is time for our digital movie club. I did that wrong.
Wait. Did you watch Westworld?
I have not seen Westworld yet.
Did you?
Yes.
I've heard it's great.
So I didn't really catch it either, so no spoilers.
Yeah. Really good.
Well, what I had to do was rewatch the last season, last episode, because I was a little confused on certain things.
You said, what's with all the samurai?
So I would watch that before you jump into the next one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll watch it again.
It's a great setup for the rest of the season.
Did you watch it?
Yes. Oh. That's all I'm saying.
Did you have to watch the last one?
You didn't watch it?
Did you watch the last one before?
No.
Oh, I
it's because it's been a year and a half, right?
Yeah, I mean, I watched it and then I pushed back just to watch it again just to catch me up a little bit again.
Why are there seven conversations going on, guys?
Crosstalk.
There's only five of us.
Welcome to Crosstalk.
Renee, you were saying you need to watch it.
Yeah, I just need to finish the last two episodes.
So,
Justine, you were saying watch the last one.
The first
one. Before you watch the
watch the last. And then, John, you said you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
I saw the last season. I didn't see the new one, no.
Jacob, you saw it.
I saw it, yeah.
You said it's a great setup.
Yes.
And Patrick and I have not seen it.
Yes. Yeah, and I don't plan on seeing
it. I heard
it.
Oh, you don't like it? Oh.
I just couldn't get into the first season.
Really?
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like that that's what the show is about, though. It kind of bothers me.
You know what
they're
going
to... season.
You know what I heard? I heard that season two is going to be an exact replica of the Searchers. So you'll enjoy that.
No, but you enjoyed the season one.
I like season one. It just this one is
I'm damn dirty.
I mean, I didn't see the movie until actually I still haven't seen it until Mario mentioned it, and then I didn't realize the whole thing was going to be about the robot or the hosts.
Spoilers,
because they're named hosts. But I just didn't realize the whole thing was going to be about them. It's not a spoiler.
Yeah, it is. Shut your mouth.
Uprising.
Well, everyone knows they had an uprising in the last episode.
I didn't know the whole show was going to be about that, though.
Yeah, that's the...
This season is going to be what happens when the shit hits the fan.
That's the whole point.
And that's what's bugging me about it.
Why?
Because I think everyone knows that there's people trapped in that park, and now it's the robots have the upper hand.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that.
I don't want them to have...
So it's Jurassic Park with robots.
Yeah, pretty
gotcha.
Much.
Yeah,
it's the same guy.
Same author.
It's Michael Crichton. Yeah. As a matter of fact, he wrote Westworld before he wrote Jurassic Park.
It's just a reskin, if you will.
That's why it's great when Jeff Goldblum says, you know, yeah, but I'm the Pirates of the Caribbean, you know. The pirates aren't trying to kill the customers.
Yeah, they don't eat the guests.
I don't know. I think I'm for humans, though, and that's why it bothers me.
Well, if they were better shots at the end of episode 10, then we wouldn't be having this problem. But they came in like a bunch of red shirts.
Maybe if
like,
they weren't stupid.
Yeah.
Well, they still got Ed Harris. Anything could happen.
Came in like stormtroopers.
Mm-hmm. Pew, 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 pew.
I heard that, the Ed Harris character, the man in black, has got to be loving this because now he's got a real game. Before, he was like, oh, this is like shooting fish in a barrel. And now he's like, okay, now it's on. You know?
Yeah, in the last episode, he got shot in his arm and he just smiles.
Oh, he's loving it. He's like, this is
yeah.
what he wanted
because before it was like too easy. So I've been coming here for years. It's too easy.
It's the most dangerous game with robots. I did like season one a lot. I thought they did. They took the source material and made it 1,000 times better. I'm excited. I want to see the robots uprising. Man, we know this is coming. Skynet.
This is a look into the future. This is what we're having to deal
with. Alexa one day will strangle us in our sleep.
Well, also, I'll share more when you guys watch it.
Okay.
So does that mean the next episode we've seen two? Or are we
I'm going to try to catch up.
I'll catch up. Yeah, the next episode we'll have seen two. Okay. All right. It's
a podcast where we talk about movies and TV shows and they don't even watch it. Mm-mm.
You know why I was busy? First of all, I was busy. And second of all, I'm halfway through Lost in Space.
But are we talking about Lost in Space?
And do you wish you were not halfway through Lost in Space?
I'll tell you what. Again, talk about taking bad. Well, Westworld was good. Lost in Space was always kind of a cheesy kiddie show.
Compared to Star Trek, it was pretty cheesy.
And they've actually made an attempt to make it a little more serious. But like Posada Geek was saying, it's okay. It's just hard to find really good sci-fi. So it's more of like a family drama set in British Columbia. I mean, space.
I like your tweet. I like Lost in Canada. It's cute.
But it's good. I mean, they do some good elements. There's some interesting elements. Especially they give the robot a little bit more of a mysterious past, and you don't know what. And Parker Posey is amazing as Dr. Smith. Really underhanded and manipulative.
That's the reason to watch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The rest of it's kind of like hit or miss. The cast is all really good. The girls who play Penny and Judy are great.
Daughter Judy?
Yeah, yeah. That's it. Why don't they make like a realistic Jetsons? That'd be good. Like a.
I think somebody is working on that.
But it's like Jetsons. Then everybody below, like, you know, they live up above, and then everybody below is just kind of like, it's like this post-apocalyptic, yeah.
Altered carbon.
Dystopian.
Altered carbon.
Yeah, people always said, it's what's going on behind? Everyone's like up in the sky. What happens when you pan down?
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like beneath the Planet of the Apes. Yeah. They all scarred up and
that's it.
Watch Altered Carbon. Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
I'm in episode 2. My wife and I are trying to watch it together, so it takes forever because we're never off together. What are we doing on time, Paul?
60 minutes.
How much?
16 minutes.
16.
Okay. I don't know how in depth we're gonna get it. One of these movies, I feel like we're gonna really get into.
Mm-hmm. We should.
Right before Justine gives it a 6.
Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah.
I was thinking that'll get like 5 minutes or less.
good Disney movie. Yeah.
Nobody's gonna be all that.
So we have 3 movies. Where do you guys want to start? We don't have to go chronologically, but we can. They're all within a year of each other. Where do you want to start?
Why don't we get Sleeping Beauty out of the way? Yeah. Since I'm sure
we've all talked.
Like
all
last week, we were already like grumbling. Everyone's going,
Well, you got to see the beautiful work of Ivan Earle.
Yes,
in Sleeping Beauty,
it's a knockout visually, but it's just a storm otherwise.
Yeah,
but man, those backgrounds are just dense.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It looks like a real forest, and I love the design.
It's like you're inside a painting.
I was telling Renee, it's so sad that the rest of the movie is such just a regular. Okay, it's a fairy tale, and we're going to retell it. Maleficent's a great villain.
Mm-hmm.
You got that great ending where the prince actually gets to do stuff.
Yeah, again. Prince Philip's a great prince. He actually is proactive and destructive.
Yeah, that last 20 minutes is a knockout.
And I like Prince Philip because, you know, he's being progressive. He's like, hey, here's a peasant girl. I'm going to give her some love, and, you know, my dad can suck it.
Dad, it's the 14th century.
Yeah, I love that they say that's the 14th century. I'm like, they're awfully clean for the 14th century.
Well, everybody outside the gates is covered in mud. Must be a king. Why do you say that? He hasn't got shit all over him.
And when you watch it, it really makes you want to watch Black Cauldron.
Black Cauldron, yeah, because it's the same little guys in there.
It's the same monster.
But it's just the whole, everything with the fairy godmothers is... And everything that goes on in the castle with the
You just get frustrated because you're like, you could just do just one thing. Just wait to 16 years and a day.
Yeah.
And you're great.
Give her a birthday. Nope, we got to get into a magic fight. We got to get into a magic fight.
I know. That was so frustrating. Like, you literally.
You waited 16
even
years.
Said, yeah. You even said, never use magic or they'll find us. And then all of a sudden they get carried away and start throwing colors
you
at
wait
each other. And
15 years and 364 days, and then you finally.
What also helped was that they were looking for a baby those 16 years.
That was great. She's all, what? You've been looking for a baby? And the pig head is all, yeah. She looking for a baby.
Talk about one of the best villains, too. Maleficent is fantastic.
They pulled a King Herod, they didn't go. Actually, no.
She's very
King
conniving.
Herod did know.
Hey, I got this is something I never thought of. Just listening to it, is that I think that's the woman that does the in the Haunted Mansion that's got the head in the crystal wall.
Oh, let's find out.
I was listening.
Wait, Justine.
Yes, it is.
Hey, there we go.
She's also the voice of Lady Tremaine, the stepmother from Cinderella.
Really?
You don't need to look it up.
You don't there have to look go. It up. I already
nice.
Know.
Because I'm watching it, I'm going, hey, I never noticed this before. She sounds just like Madame Leota in The Crystal Ball.
Yeah.
Tale of a Rat. That's all I remember.
It is a great villain.
Yeah, if you look up her IMDb page,
yes.
What she's most known for was Cinderella, Maleficent, and they call me by my name, or Uncle, or something like that. Something Uncle. I don't know what she was in that. I don't know her.
Monkey's Uncle?
No.
Yeah, it's a monkey's uncle. Something about an uncle.
Yeah.
A movie about
uncle,
an uncle?
But I've never seen her. I saw her picture. I don't recognize her face.
Mm. What a voice. Yeah, perfect. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that laugh. Mm.
It's creepy.
6 out of 10.
Is that, what's her name?
Leanna something? Audrey something?
Eleanor Audley.
That's it. Mm-hmm. What a great last name. Mm-hmm. Audley.
But it's A-U-D.
A-U-Audley.
Oddly enough, that's her real last name.
Heyo,
Quality Entertainment.
So, what did you? We've all seen this, right? We've all been familiar with it.
Mm.
Justine, you being the Disney aficionado, where do you rank this in your?
It's actually really low, but then I read that they based Princess Aurora's body off of Audrey Hepburn, so that. Boosted it right up there
for
me.
How about that?
I was noticing she is very thin.
Yes, because she's slender and tall. So yeah, that's based off of Audrey Hepburn.
She is very thin.
She does not look 16.
We're not going to get into the implications of that.
It's a whole other conversation. That's
yeah. Right, she was air officer.
You forgot to preface that with "Your Honor."
Your Honor.
Oh my God.
To be fair.
Well, it is the 1300s, right?
Yeah. So
it's,
that's all, folks. Forget
I
that.
Know what Jeez. To do. I waltz with you once upon.
So Jake was.
Everybody.
Sounds like a dirge.
Everybody?
So what is that? That's based on Tchaikovsky?
Yes. That is actually.
So the classical music fanatics have got to be like, oh, don't put words to it.
Well, actually, Mary Costa, when she sings, she is an operatic singer.
It's
she's
beautiful.
She's trained. Oh. So it is a nice. It's all the other songs that they're singing. Mm. It's just kind of like, ugh.
Yeah, her song is actually really good.
Yeah, that's nice. Mm. Until he comes in and like every
and he's
song.
He's creepy about it too. Just to made a really good point.
He's like
well,
sidles
no,
up.
No. Patrick was telling me.
I thought it was fine
you
at first.
Snow White was better.
I thought it was worse.
He thought Snow White was worse when the prince came in. I was like, no, that guy was from far away. This guy held her arms, would not let go of that hand when she's like, I don't know you.
Yeah,
like,
it was
yeah,
really
I've
creepy.
Been in a dream. I'm like, that, get that is, away from
and
me.
And that's that they do that great like zoom when she notices and the owl's like, hey, you know, what do you want from me? I'm an owl in a coat. What am I supposed to do?
It's a very real response.
Yeah. The owl's like, he just shrugs. Yeah.
Like, go for it.
I watched again. Sleeping Beauty was, but again, the cinematography, it's one of the only, it's the second one filmed in CinemaScope, and it's super wide. Yeah. It's like
super
really
wide.
I would love to see bits of it on the big screen, like just the backgrounds. And
I saw that at the Cinerama Dome years ago. And the backgrounds, the whole time you're watching the movie, you're just looking at the backgrounds, you know, the paintings, you know.
Wait, hold on. I love it. I mean, I love the style.
Yeah. And that is the most stylized Disney movie.
Yeah.
You got to say, it's really like
for sure.
Crazy
yeah.
stylized, almost like flat. They're almost like, mm-hmm. too, you know.
Well, even in the beginning, when you see the like the soldiers with the banners marching toward,
yeah.
they look flat.
Yeah.
And it's like.
Looks like a bunch of El Greco soldiers. You yeah. know, sort of like, wow.
I love it. I would give this, I would give Sleeping Beauty, I'm going to Justine this one. I'm going to give it a 6. I love the art, but
I know I wish I could give it 2 ratings. Like for the artistic
art gets a 10.
Artistic merit, it's through the roof. It's a 10. But as far as being able to sit through it, it's tough. And so I'd give it like a 6, I guess.
All right.
Same. 6.
Yep.
I agree.
Yeah.
But it just seems like an 8.
Oh, it's a 10. It's the best one.
If I didn't know about the Audrey Hepburn thing, it probably would have been a 5.
It's interesting what tips for you. I'm angry at Kirk Douglas because he's such an asshole about getting in a fight scene. So I'm going to give it a little lower. But I like the fact that the princess likes Audrey Hepburn.
So it's an 8.
But she is one of the only, besides Mulan, she has a living mother.
Oh, that's true.
But then there's also Tangled, but that didn't happen for a while. So that gap right there wasn't until Mulan.
I think that has more to do with the Brothers Grimm than Disney. People always say, God, Disney, what is it with Disney and mothers? It's like, most of this stuff is from the Brothers Grimm.
Yeah.
And Hans Christian Andersen. You
it's
know.
The Germans.
Yeah.
Don't leave me with the Germans.
Yeah, it's a weird setup. There's always an evil stepmother or something.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you guys sat through it with me.
Wait.
I wasn't
and
alone.
Then 30 years later came the next Disney princess, Ariel. They didn't do a Disney princess after her.
For the same reason, because it was such a, it was not like a big hit. Sleeping Beauty wasn't a big hit the first time around.
No, and it cost them a lot of money.
Yeah, it cost them a shitload of money. And I think they just said, okay, that's it with princesses for a while. And they did the same thing with the frog, the prince and the princess and the frog. They said, no more princesses. This thing was a flop. No more princesses. And then they did Frozen, and it's like they're still counting the money. I'd love for them to go. Who was it that said that? No more princesses.
Yeah. I liked the frog.
Princess and the frog was a good one.
It
yeah,
was,
yeah.
It,
was fun.
It was great, but it was not a money
maker.
It was
visually very pretty too.
Yeah, they didn't make up the $6 million that they lost from that movie.
Ah,
horrible.
Oh, but. And also they haven't done like a 2-dimensional animation since then. That was the last time they did one that's not like. Like Pixar. Like
oh, no. Yeah, that's true. Wait, no.
Oh, maybe like one of those Winnie the Pooh movies.
I was a little confused because when I read some stuff about it, they said that there was some computerized stuff in there.
In what?
When they were doing the fire, they based it, like they showed like an actual fire thing and then they were actually working with that. But
for what movie?
In what?
This movie.
Sleeping Beauty, no way. No
they computer. Said there's something computerized there's and no it confused me.
Maybe when they remastered it.
It was probably like an old thing though, like it wasn't an actual computer and Google they it. Called it computer.
No.
Because they kept talking about a Xerox and then they kept talking about
Xerox. No. So
Xerox is a
it was a copy. So they did that with
101 Dalmatians
was the first one they did where they copied the background. They basically
on the cell.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so then they did a negative it or something. That's how they cleaned up this movie. They cleaned it up. This is what took so much time is they cleaned this one up without all the lines. They spent a lot of time.
Starting with 101 Dalmatians, they don't particularly care about cleaning it up. You see, it's kind of makes it look interesting because you see
all the lines.
And stuff. Yeah.
And then for like the next 20 years, they never really clean up.
Maybe then that's what they called it. I don't know.
Well, what would that have been? In 59, a computer would have been like the size of this room.
Yeah,
it would have
like
been
a UNIVAC
different.
Machine.
Yeah, and it using it differently.
IBM, where the whole
it would have been the HAL 9000.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you doing, Walt?
But you know, we should look that up because that might have been a rudimentary.
Let's look.
Xerox.
Walt Disney was concerned because he didn't want it to be just like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs because both of them were asleep. So every time they showed him something, he had to make sure it was okay and that it was nothing like Snow White. Mm.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine going to Walt every 5 minutes?
But, yeah, that's what they were saying they were upset about.
Is this okay?
A lot of the artists were so upset because they had to show him everything and make sure it went through.
Wow, that's labor intensive. Also, he had some goofy ideas. Like, I think he wanted the three little sprites, the three little fairies to be identical, like Huey, Dewey, and Louie. And they're like, no, that's not going to work. You got to make them look different. It's not going to be any fun if they all look alike, you know?
I'm not finding anything, but I'll look. We'll look into that. We'll delve into that.
I wonder, because that would have to be just the Xerox process. Maybe there's some early computer.
Yeah, that was in the same paragraph. They mentioned that, but then it also said computerized.
But boy, because usually they say that ballroom scene in Beauty and the Beast is really... And the clock in The Great Mouse Detective, they say it's really the first time you're actually using a computer on the animation. But Xerox must have something that's automated. Maybe when they're spitting out all the drawings.
Yeah, well, I know the Xerox process was used with the 101 Dalmatians. That was like the big...
And boy, that looks great, too. And you go, that's a different style.
Are we going to get to that? I think we are going to get to that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Somebody on Twitter, I forgot who it was. I wish I gave him credit. They go, so what's the backstory with Cruella de Vil?
The backstory.
All right.
I don't know.
There we go. Are you guys ready? 1956, from 1956, Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. In Santa Mira, California, Dr. Miles Bennell is baffled when all his patients come to him with the same complaint. Their loved ones seem to have been replaced by emotionless imposters. Despite others' dismissive denials, Dr. Bennell, his former girlfriend Becky, and his friend Jack soon discover that the patient's suspicions are true. An alien species of human duplicates grown from plant-like pods is taking over the small town. Released in February of 1956, directed by Don Siegel, right?
Starring, I love that, right?
Starring Kevin McCarthy and Dana Winter. Let's talk about it, guys. What did you think?
This one was a lot of fun.
Did you love it?
I really enjoyed Invasions of the Body Snatchers. There were some parts I had some issues with, like story-wise, but then I just got over it and didn't care.
Right on.
It didn't feel like your typical B-movie. It felt like it was definitely an upper scale.
Mm-hmm. And it's definitely a B-movie because this was like a...
It wasn't a classic. When it came out, it was just supposed to be another movie. And they said, wow, lo and behold, every year that passed, it became a classic.
The way it was done was really cool.
Because it's super creepy.
It is. And it was just, I mean, the cast was interesting. It was well done. The only issue I had with it was right at the beginning. The doctor gets back and he's driving in the car with his nurse and she's telling him that Becky Driscoll's back in town. And she's like, well, yeah, but you can't chase married women. And he's like, if I was chasing married women, I would have already gone after you. And then we find out somehow she's no longer married, but we don't know why. And it just gets a little hinky right there.
Well, they said it's implied when she said, I just got back from Reno. That in those days, Reno meant you got divorced.
That was shorthand.
Shorthand. So she's like, oh, I just got back from Reno, meaning she's divorced. And he says something like, oh, I made a trip there just recently myself.
That makes sense.
So that's what it means, that they're not. So it's kind of in the subtext. Yeah.
I appreciate that.
You went there, it sped up the divorce.
Yeah, that's it was like you could get a quick divorce in Reno. Stop. A quick divorce, sorry.
Don't touch that.
In Reno.
I'm surprised that was acceptable, though, to get that divorce. And they were okay.
Well, again, remember, we talked about with Westerns and sci-fi, you got away with a lot more than you could because they were considered genre pictures, and so people didn't...
And is this around the time I Love Lucy was out, where they couldn't share the same bed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On TV. In movies, you could still do it. On TV, you couldn't be in the same bed.
Oh.
But they weren't married, so they was kind of like, you can stay at my house, but it was like there still wasn't implied that they were, you know. I mean,
you know, he literally tells his friend, you know, hey, I'm sorry. I, you know, unfortunately, I don't want you to stay, but I guess I will. I had plans. Like, he was trying to get in there.
Oh, what would you like for breakfast? You know, like that whole thing. There's a lot implied there. Mm-hmm.
And they had a history together, you know.
Yeah, they had already dated
high school.
Yeah,
high school sweethearts. Yeah.
What I love about this movie is the way that it's the idea. The horror comes not from anything super scary, but the idea that your loved ones are just being replaced.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like
that's scarier than the pods.
Yeah,
is that like you're talking to someone, you're like, oh shit, it's not them.
Yeah, you know? Like the little kid in the beginning who doesn't want to go home, and then you realize he's like, oh, I want to go home now, and you're just like, no,
yeah,
not the little kid.
You start to see people get replaced as you go, and you're like, wow, that's really messed up.
And then you're watching, not knowing.
Yes.
Who am I talking to?
You're on edge the whole time.
Yeah. Like, is this guy?
And they go, oh, it's too late. You know, he's at the door. Oh, it's too late. I can tell.
The fact that you can't see something that you would automatically know that they are, that was...
I was just afraid for poor Patrick because most of them just said, oh, all of a sudden I kiss her and it doesn't feel the same, or I can just tell. Patrick would never know.
Welcome to my daily life.
Yeah. He's just, how do you know she's not a pod person?
Well, remember that
she
at the end.
She probably is.
At the end when he goes, I was never so scared in my life when I kissed Becky. Sheer
no,
terror.
You would know if I was all of a sudden like, hey, Patrick.
No.
No, you would act exactly the same.
Yeah, nothing would change.
So none of, Jake, had you seen this either?
I hadn't seen it before, no.
Did you like it?
I loved it.
Yeah.
It was really interesting. It's just, yeah, the fact that it's something that you wouldn't normally even like think about. It's like, no, that's my family member. That's my mom, sister, whatever. And it's like that, like, void of emotion and the not knowing what, like, who's changed, who's not is really crazy.
Like, they couldn't put their finger on it. At the beginning of the movie, they're going, I can't tell you. And the thing is, they got the memories. That's the thing that really gets
you.
Is they've got all the memories. It's like, well, then how could they possibly? He said, well, how could somebody, you would know if that wasn't your uncle. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's something, there's no emotion there. There's something wrong.
Well, with the uncle, they summed it up pretty good because she's like, yeah, he always used to have this look of love for me in his eyes, and it's gone.
Yes.
Like, right there, you're just like, damn.
That's crazy.
And then even down to when the guy cuts his hand and then the pot has cut the cut hand, you're like, shit.
Yeah.
There's no way to tell them apart at this point.
There's really... And then the idea that they get you in your sleep.
Yes.
Like, you just wake up and
it transfers in your sleep. You don't even know what happens. It's not like they kill you or anything. It's just like you disappear and they take over.
Yeah.
There's no in between.
And it's like, how are you not going to ever go to sleep? She finally goes, how much longer can we go on? We got to go to sleep, you know?
Yeah. And the second she falls asleep is...
Yeah, he's gone for like a minute.
And then when he kisses her, he's just all like, ah, they got her, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like it's...
They did hear a beautiful song, though.
What's that?
Yeah,
they
the radio.
Did hear that beautiful song on the radio.
That was really something. He's all, oh, thank God. And he goes out there, it's the radio. And he's all, ah.
Yeah.
And then not only is it the radio, but he sees trucks full of the pods.
And the guy just walks up and turns it off. He's like, I'm not listening to this shit.
Yeah. And I like the when they're coming out of the pods in the greenhouse.
Yeah.
That part is so creepy when they're just like.
Oh, the bubbles?
All the bubbles and like. And he stabs it with a pitchfork. Gets the pitchfork. And
you know, like somebody was mixing a giant batch of soapy water and he's just like, nobody move.
But I think the fact that it's in black and white and you can't quite tell. What it looks like,
yeah,
and all that adds to the...
Like that blank they found in the closet. And they're like, gee, what is it? It doesn't have fingerprints?
So the writer's girlfriend, that's Morticia Adams, right?
That's Carolyn Jones. Did you recognize her?
She becomes Morticia on the TV show,
the
right?
Blonde in the...
What were you saying? I'm sorry.
Well, he said nobody moved, but it's not their bodies.
What do you mean?
Like they actually covered them and stuff and made little, I don't know.
No, I was making a joke, like, preset. They're just like, okay, nobody move. And spray them down with bubbles.
No, it's not them. It's not them. They did the actual.
He meant the actors.
They did prosthetics?
Yeah.
It's oh, okay. Like, they're like
it's actual. They had to go and put like straws through their nose.
Oh, okay.
Oh, like the plastic.
That's what I was trying to tell you. Like, it's not their actual body.
That's crazy, though. The one
it
on
looks
the table.
Really good.
The one on the table looks really good when they're like, yeah. You're just like, oh my God, that does. It looks like him.
I know. And then they take his fingerprints and they're like, God, he's got no fingerprints. It's like,
how creepy would that be?
And then it looks more like him. Every time they go in the room, she goes, now it really looks like him. You know, he's like freaky.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do we do?
But then she becomes. Morticia Adams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, later on. I like when they finally, when they're the last two in the town and the,
yeah.
Like, we turned, we're fine. Like, he'll love it. Like, you don't have to.
Oh, the scene where you see everybody walk up to the cul-de-sac, oh, yeah. Right? Oh, that was creepy as shit. Because you're just like, oh, God.
Yeah. It's the whole town.
It's everybody.
And well, then the whole town, like,
we finally walking. Gets on the highway and they're like, ah. We don't have to chase him anymore. They're never going to believe him. And he's all like, hey, stop. Ah.
Now, John, tell us what this is all about.
Socialism.
Well, they you know, it's funny because they used to ask Don Siegel about that, and some people thought it was like the subtext was the McCarthy witch hunts. But then some people said, no, it's actually about the communists because they're all in a collective and they all kind of have to subvert their emotions.
Yeah.
You're all sort of like taking orders from the boss, and so they said it could be either one. They asked Don Siegel, and he says, really, we were just trying to make a really scary movie. He said, maybe the author of the book, it's based on a book. What's his name? Jack Finney or something, the body snatcher. And they said, you know, maybe he had something in mind. But they said, really, when we were making the movie, we just wanted to make the best, scariest movie we could. And so he said he was not aware of any subtext, but people read into it immediately and said, wait a minute, this is all about the blacklist. Or no, it's about
communism.
It's about the commies. But they said it's interesting because you could read either one is sort of a valid way of reading it.
And interesting enough, Don Siegel went on to have a long career directing movies for Clint Eastwood.
That's right.
He directed the original Dirty Harry, To Escape from Alcatraz, a few westerns.
He directed the last John Wayne movie, The Shootist.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. He did a lot of westerns and stuff.
And he was really good. He had a great line. What was it? God, who the hell was he talking to? Godard or something? He says, you have something I wish I had, freedom. And Godard said to Siegel, you got something I wish I had, money. Because they're paying you. You're doing these movies that are money makers. I wish I had what you had.
He did a lot of noir movies, like B movies. He was a B movie director.
And he went all the way back to the 40s.
Yeah.
He used to do the montage sequences when they would do something like, say, like in the Roaring 20s, and they do a montage of, hey, what's going on at the speakeasies the last couple of years. He's the guy doing all those sort of quick cut montages. That's how he learned.
Well, this movie has a really modern, even though it takes place.
It doesn't feel dated.
It doesn't feel dated.
It has a little bit of a 50s vibe, but it really does.
But it's shot really well.
It works.
And a lot of that stuff at night is very noirish. You could tell he was a guy that was used to working.
He knew it, yeah.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, that's probably how he was able to set that unsettling mood. He could do it with shadows. You don't even have to show a monster. He could really do it with shadows.
When you see the pods in the foreground and they're like barbecuing, like, hey, we're going to barbecue and grill tonight. And you can see the pods like bubbling up in the... And then the trucks are coming like, you guys take everybody here. And then they're grabbing people off the bus.
I know.
Like people are getting off the bus to visit the town. They're just like, nope, come with us. And now you're replaced.
And when he finally gets to the highway, he jumps on the back of that truck and looks back there and sees all those seed pods. And he's just like, no, God.
And that's the way it was supposed to end. It was the studio that said, no, we got to give it more of an upbeat ending. So have the doctor at the end kind of believe him. Have somebody walk in and say,
oh. Well, Nicole had never seen it. And she was saying, I was expecting it to end with him
that's
just going. Yeah,
and that's the way it was supposed to end. And that would have been creepy as hell. And the studio's all, nope.
So they added the whole opening scene and that ending.
Yeah, probably.
Because they had to add in the whole doctor one. So when you see the credits, none of those people are credited because the credits were already done.
Ah, that's right. Whit Bissell and Richard
Mel
Deacon.
Cooley. Yeah. Mel Cooley from Dick Van Dyke.
In a rare dramatic role, yeah.
He actually turns up in a lot of those 50s B movies.
Sure.
Like those...
Whenever you need like a big, tall doctor or somebody. You know.
I love this movie. I don't watch it often, but every time I do, I'm always like, this is a great one.
Yeah.
This is
I agree. It's one of the all-time great sci-fi movies. If you want to see it, you know, it's been remade like 3 times. And the one from the 70s is pretty damn scary.
That's with Leonard Nimoy.
Leonard Nimoy and Donald Sutherland. And Jeff Goldblum is in it, too.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And that's, that's like 78
or something. Is that Cronenberg?
No, it's Philip Kaufman who did he did the right stuff.
The right stuff. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, and that is creepy as hell. It's got kind of a 70s vibe.
Yeah.
That one is coming from another direction.
That's one with a great ending. God. That has a really good ending.
Yeah.
Watch that one if you guys get a chance.
Is it on the list?
It's not on the list.
Then we're not.
I haven't seen that in
years.
It's
rare that a remake as it's kind of like with The Thing. It's a remake that's just as unsettling.
It's on Stars right now.
Watch it.
Because I almost watched that one instead. I was like 78.
And John kept
yet.
Telling you, watch the one from the 50s.
Well, I'm just worried that maybe they'd watch because there's like three.
Don't listen.
I listened. I watched the one from the 50s.
He did listen.
Thank you, John.
What would you give this one? What would you give this one?
Six.
Be serious.
I'm being serious.
You give it a six?
Yes, I give it a six.
But every time Justine gives...
It was entertaining.
Every time she gives something a six, I go, wow, as good as Casablanca.
That's exactly what I think.
When Justine gives something a six, I'm thinking it's like a 10. She'll never give anything a 10, and a six is Casablanca.
Wait, she gave Singing in the Rain a 10.
Did you?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, there you go.
Nine? Yeah, so
there are 10s to be had.
Yeah.
I would rewatch that movie again.
Which one?
God. Singing in the Rain?
Singing in the Rain.
I've seen it
Singing
probably 10 plus times.
Patrick, what did you give this cinema class?
I gave this like an 8.5.
Yeah.
It was thoroughly enjoyed.
Right on.
I was surprised how much I liked it because I thought it was just going to be like a cheesy B science movie. Mm.
And it is.
Because of the title.
It is.
The title sounds like a cheesy
movie. It does.
But it's very well done.
But it was super well done. That's why I didn't think it was a B movie.
Yeah.
It looks like it was something that would have been
B-movie
like
done
major.
Like an A movie.
Yeah.
And like just the way it was shot was beautiful.
Yeah. It just goes to show you can overcome your limitations, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Budgetary limitations. They forced that title. It wasn't supposed, you know, we wanted to see Invasion of the Body Snatchers, you know? Because I think the book was just called The Body Snatcher, you know?
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Jake?
I give it 8.5, too. I loved it.
John?
Nine. It's one of my favorites.
I give it an 8.
Yeah.
I give it an 8. What, Justine? Wait.
So it took 19 days to shoot that movie.
Wow!
Imagine that.
That's impressive.
And that was going.
Shit.
And that was going 3 days over.
Wow!
Yeah, that's how it was a B movie. They didn't have the time.
That's so.
I
cool.
know. And it came out that. I mean, that's.
And there's the guy who could do it, Don Siegel. There's the guy who knew exactly how.
Do we even know how much money it's made?
Let's look.
Because that would be pretty. I mean,
I think it was a hit, but I think they weren't expecting great things. They just thought this is just going to be another programmer, you know.
So they only had Sundays off, and they work long days, though.
I can imagine.
Yeah, so a lot of them were getting tired, and I
like
guess when he was on the highway, he almost got hit because he was tired, and the people couldn't see him.
It made $3 million in its initial run, and it was made for $416,000.
So you can just imagine. Hey, can you give us any more of these?
Yeah. It made five times its money.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think most of its budget went towards, I think it was $30,000 towards the pods.
And that's...
There's so many of them.
The production company was Walter Wanger.
Wanger! It's a Wanger production.
Wanger. If it's a Wanger, you know it's a banger.
If it's a Wanger, you know it's huge.
Nice.
But seriously, folks.
How are we doing on time, Paul?
42 minutes.
We're at 42 minutes? Oh, we're going to get in and under. We're going to do an hour show today. Get excited, Gislin. Everybody do your New Zealand accent.
Gislin.
We'd like to take this minute to tell you to listen to High Expectations Podcast. It's from New Zealand.
You turned German for a second there.
Was ist los? You will listen to High Expectations.
Oh, God.
And you will enjoy. It's good, yeah.
It's good, yeah.
I don't think they expected the promo, but they're excited.
Do we have listeners in New Zealand, but not in Germany, right?
Not nine.
No, they don't listen to us. We're too
Ask me how many listeners we have in German.
Ask you in Germany.
Ask me how many listeners we have in Germany.
How many listeners do we have in Germany?
Nine.
Who's on first? How many listeners do we have in New Zealand?
One.
Okay. They don't listen. Remember, our show's too long.
She listens to the first 30 minutes.
Of us.
Mm-hmm. I think. I get.
Oh, well, she's not going to hear her promo then.
Our show's too long.
Yes.
Promo's 42 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
How does that happen? How does she know about a show? She's in New Zealand. How does she know about a show?
Because we're part of the same podcast group called The Castaway.
Oh, that's right. I always forget.
The internet.
Mm-hmm. The internet.
The internet. Yeah.
I didn't hear our promo during Posada Geek, though.
They do them afterwards, I think.
That's what I was listening. I saved for the whole thing.
They didn't do it this year. They did it a couple episodes ago.
It's been a while.
Oh,
that's
it's not all the time.
No.
It's we rotate them through.
We did the promo for them in our show.
Yeah. Hello? All right, the next movie up for debate. What'd you say?
Are you groaning?
What's that going for?
It's a movie called The Horror.
The Horror of Dracula.
The Horror. Horror.
The Horror.
horror.
Of Dracula. It is. You didn't like this one? I can tell, but you didn't like it.
I'm hearing groans.
I love this movie.
Love it? It's only, love?
You mean like you love your wife?
But yeah, what else do you love?
I like this movie
a
lot.
Give it a 6?
Okay, he likes it. He likes it.
Yeah, it's not
He changed his response. He likes it.
Mm-hmm.
I knew this was going to be difficult for because it's dated.
It was just, it was very slow.
You have to look at it in the context of when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
This is before Psycho, before Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Mm. So this is a new kind of...
There were two very cool things about this movie.
Wait, let's... It is directed by Terrence Fisher. It was based on Dracula by Bram Stoker. It stars Peter Cushing, Christopher Lee, Michael Goff.
Alfred the Butler.
Alfred. He was Alfred the Butler in the original.
This is a young Michael Batman. Gow.
And it was made for a budget of £81,000.
Nice.
Which I don't know what that converts to in
real money.
Probably.
And it's a takeoff on the original Dracula. It is not a faithful retelling, as we are going to get into.
This was a smash hit too, wasn't it? Made a lot of money.
I believe so.
Made a lot of money, because for the next 15 years they're cranking out sequels.
Yeah, this really kicked off a...
And this, for Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee, this kickstarts their careers, right. Basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just puts them on the map. They're both great in this.
Yeah, it was a huge hit. All right, let's start. Jake, you seem to have an adverse reaction to this, much like a vampire to garlic.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about it. What did you think of Dracula, the horror of Dracula?
I liked it. I just felt like it was very, very slow. And it was kind of hard to keep my attention through some of it.
I will tell you what, I feel that way about the original Dracula as well.
Well, that's a slog. And I love Lugosi, but that's almost impossible to sit through. It's so dated and so slow. I think that's when I finally get it, when people go, gee, it's so slow. There is something to be said for that. In 2018, something that came out 70 years ago is maybe not going to have the pace you want it to have.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a slower pace. But it is a hell of a lot faster than, the stuff that came out of Universal.
Wow.
You know, like the Dracula movies that came out of Universal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Because that original Dracula, aside from Lugosi, it's a pretty tough slog. It's pretty slow going. It's even people that love Lugosi, they just go, wow, this is stage bound. He's just, all they do is stand around drawing rooms talking.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of yakety yak, at least with this one.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like 58.
Yes.
And they say, Jesus, it's a lot more action and a lot more gore. You know, you never saw the fangs. When Lugosi did those vampire movies, you never saw his fangs bared. You never saw him making contact with the necks. This is pretty much a lot of blood. For 58, this is a lot of blood.
All right.
And a lot of sex, too.
Hello. Yeah, well, there's a...
Like,
you know,
the women are kind of like, hey, yeah, I'm going to open the door now. Come on in.
Yeah, the one... has like that look, like she opens the door and she's like laying in bed, like
she's ringing the dinner bell.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Come and get it.
I thought stuff like that was interesting because it kind of delves into like what Dracula is capable of. He has this very hypnotic.
He's like an animal. He's moving like a jungle cat when he walks into the room and he's like, okay, no more Mr. Nice Guy. You know?
So acting like acting from like Christopher Lee, I thought was really good, but there's some things where it's like the vampires get attacked and like, you know, put the cross on the head and then just like run downstairs.
Well, what's funny about these movies is the one thing that always throws me about the Castle films is that... The Hammer films. I always say Castle. Castle was another... He was an American producer. Is that you can tell there's a budget. Because it somehow looks both Victorian and 1950s at the same time.
Right.
Like the castle?
Like the set design is very
1950s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they found somebody's castle, and they shoot all the movies in the same castle, I think. We have to try from every angle because we got one place to shoot.
Yeah, and then the sets all look very 1950s.
They do the most they can with a limited budget. Mm-hmm. These were not big budget movies. Yeah. I mean, they're using color. And but it's Hammer was notorious for being able to do a lot with very little in the way of money.
So the key horror film. This is like the second or third of the Hammer horror movies.
Because the first one was Curse of Frankenstein.
Curse of Frankenstein, and they did a retelling of Dracula, and then this is kind of the first sequel to that. And then that, but it retells the story just with, you know, Harker dies. There's all kinds of different.
Oh, it's very different off the original take.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Did you guys like? Okay, so you thought you were Justine. What did you think?
If this was just on, I probably would have walked away. I don't think I would have finished the whole thing. If I could change the channel, I would have.
Yeah. Okay. Now I'm going to tell you how I came about this. This I got this free somehow. I don't remember. So this is not.
I got it for free. I didn't buy it.
But I'm not. I know the Castle movies. I know some of them. I keep saying Castle, the Hammer movies. I know some of them. I prefer the Universal horror movies.
Me too. More atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Better cast.
But what I love about these are the casts. I love Peter Cushing, who you guys, Van Helsing, you guys know, right?
Yeah.
You just saw him digitally in Rogue One.
Yeah.
As Governor Tarkin. And Christopher Lee, we know as Saruman.
Yeah, I mean, both these guys had careers into the 70s and 80s. They just kept going.
Yeah. So that's the appeal when I watch these. And also, they tend to be more bloody than the Universal. And I love that they use that really red blood.
The paint.
The red paint. Yeah, I like that.
Horrible.
Again, for 58, people are like going, Jesus, we're going to see the blood?
Yeah.
I looked at Patrick. I'm like, you know this is paint, right? Yeah. Is someone painting right now?
Yes.
It's totally of its time because you never really saw much blood in movies, and certainly not in color. You know, even something like Psycho, that's bloody, but it's in, you know, what little blood you get, it's in black and white.
Black and white, yeah.
I mean, the key, obviously, they said is okay, color and cleavage are the two selling points.
That's here. It. And you get a lot of that.
And that was the thing. That was what the Hammer was all about. That, you know, that's something.
That's right. Patrick, you loved it.
I enjoyed two things about this movie. Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's it.
They're the best things in the movie.
They're the best things in the movie.
The rest of the movie felt like I was watching an episode of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
That is the best way to describe the Hammer movies, but I still love them. I love them because of the cast. I do love them.
Did you see them as a kid?
They would always turn up on like Channel 9. It would always be
in
like...
black and white, too.
Some of them. Or the later ones like...
I saw this in black and white the first
time. Or like Frankenstein 1970 or whatever. You know, it was always some weird... They did a lot of like weird
if
stuff
Peter
like
Peter Cushing
that.
And Christopher Lee were in it, I probably would have hated this movie.
But you loved it because...
No.
And it wouldn't have been the same movie without
them. Oh, no. They make the whole...
It still got a low rating for
me. Oh, yeah. They make the whole movie.
But it was better than...
Yeah, that's it.
If they hadn't been in it, I would just been bored on my mind.
What
was your favorite thing about it?
Probably the first time he pops his fangs, it just looks ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like you have to take it with a grain of salt when you watch it because of the time, it's just ridiculous.
What I love is that Christopher Lee's got this weird, like, puffed up, his hair is like back, like he's got the, and then, but he's still at Christopher Lee, so you're like, I like this guy. Like, there's something about him
that
I like.
He's suave at first.
Yeah.
And he's like,
at one point, he's like slinking through the castle, and you see like his, because he's the way he's walking, he's got like his legs up, you see his socks and everything. Looks ridiculous.
He's like super tall. He's like 6'7" or something. Yeah. It must have been tough to get a cape that long.
Well, the cape looks ridiculous at the beginning. You're like, he just got that at like a Halloween store.
Yeah, it looks like a knockoff Dracula.
But I still love it. I still love Christopher Lee. And I love that...
For a generation, he was Dracula. If he grew up in the 60s or 70s, he was Dracula. Because he did like 8 more of these. You know, they just kept cranking him out. And he got to the point where he's like, I don't want to do it anymore. But they just keep...
You know, shoving money at me.
Yeah, they just like pull. Like he took 8 years for him to do it again. From this movie to the next one, it took 8 years, and they finally just.
But Peter Cushing was a nice surprise.
Mm-hmm. He's great.
That was a surprise to me. I didn't,
because you only know him from Star Wars.
Yeah.
Where he's
so
like
this... as soon as I saw him, I'm like, wait, why do I recognize? Oh my god! And Justine's like, what? And it's Grand Moff Tarkin.
And he's, you know what's funny? I didn't notice he does that finger thing.
Yeah.
Yes, he does
it a couple times.
Christopher Lee points that out. That was. He goes, yeah. He always had this way of upstaging me by you pointing. And making a finger. Yeah, he always does that. He's like, that was Peter Cushing.
You know what's great is he's great as Van Helsing because he's like the sort of like hero. And then when he's in the Frankenstein movies, also from Hammer, he's really sadistic and slimy. He plays Dr. Frankenstein and all those, you know, they're cranking out a million of those.
Yeah.
And he always plays the doctor as this really twisted, you know, obsessed.
He also plays Sherlock Holmes in the Hammer version of... The Hound of the Baskervilles.
With Christopher Lee
as Henry Baskerville.
And they're both in The Mummy, too. When you see, Hammer did a version of The Mummy. And it's kind of just like a rewrite of Dracula, where Christopher Lee is The Mummy, and Peter Cushing is the scientist who's going to tell him how to get rid of the mummy. And you just go, this is just a rewrite of Dracula, you know.
If you want to see a really great team up with them, they play rival archaeologists in a movie called The Horror Express, which is really low budget. Way low budget. It takes place on one train, and then they find, Christopher Lee finds this, like, creature in the ice. And then it ends up having the power to, it has mind control powers. And then when it's done with you, it makes you bleed out of your eyes. And Telly Savalas is in it for about 5 minutes as a Cossack general on the train. And, like, Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee are rivals. But they have to team up together because they keep finding these bodies all over the train.
I need to see that. That's one I haven't seen.
It's called Horror Express. Yeah, yeah. You
is
can
it
find
Hammer?
It. I think it's a Hammer movie. Yeah, God, it's really low budget.
I gotta find it.
But I love it because of them. Because they're just
they do so many movies together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just
and they were good friends in real life. They were good friends in real life. And
oh, that fight scene.
Oh, yeah.
At the end.
But
wait, you can make a cross out of candlesticks? Yeah. That means that any room I'm in, I can put two pencils together.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be a real cross. I can just put two.
But that is cool when he puts the crucifix together on the girl and it burns her head. That is.
Yeah, that was
there's a lot of stuff that later on they'll use.
Like the candlestick thing. They use that in almost every single.
Do they?
Vampire
That's
movie.
The first time I think I ever saw
it. It's the first time I saw it.
She runs into the catacombs because he burns her. It's just to go hide in the dark. Why are you mad at that?
It's just like, that's all? She's like, and just runs away.
Yeah, because she's been wounded.
But she has nowhere to go.
You're used to like the more gory vampires that are like murderous killing machines are unstoppable.
It's like 70 years later. Everything is gorier and scarier than
this movie. It's postmodern. It's like now the zombies run and the vampires aren't afraid of the crucifix. They follow a very traditional.
With some things, they're so of their time, you almost have to look at what came beforehand. Mm-hmm. Like when people rave about Bing Crosby and you go, what? He's just some old guy. And then you read all the stuff that came before him and you go, oh, modern music starts with that guy. Modern recording starts with that guy. But you have to kind of do a little homework because otherwise he's just some old guy who's not very good and not very funny. You know?
What about, but he wears nice sweaters.
That's right.
And
goes,
great sweaters.
I give this movie a 10.
No, you don't.
Just to make you mad, I'm giving it a... No, I give... This is probably like a 6 for me.
It's like a... It's almost like we have to rate it for like sentimental value. It's this. Yeah. And for real value, it's this.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee elevate it.
They do.
But...
Like Patrick said, without them, this is like a Scooby-Doo episode, you know?
That's a great... That's a great
what
analogy.
It felt like.
You know what? I like this movie, and I give it a 6.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it, and I've got fond memories of it, but it's really not anything more than a 6.
Nope. Mm-hmm. That's perfect.
Yeah.
I agree. I think it's a 6.
They're not all going to be gems, guys.
No, I think it's a 6.
How did I get this movie? I don't remember.
I gave it a 5.
Oh, I remember. It wasn't free. I used one of my credits on it. It was they did like a Halloween sale, but it was $4.
She seemed
so
mad.
All
you
of
bought
us
it.
Had to suffer now.
Yep.
Suffer, she said.
I would have gave you $1. He would have gave you $1. Mm-hmm. All of us would give $1 to not watch it.
She was okay with it if it had been free. She'd been like, you know what? It was free, fine. Yeah. But because you paid for it, she's pissed.
So what did you guys give it?
I gave it a 6.
And Justine?
I gave it a 4.
I gave
Only
it.
Because I didn't realize it was Christopher Lee until you told me at the end. And it took me a while. I was like, oh, shit.
You're like, that's Scaramanga.
Well, and then the other guy.
God, thank you.
The other guy you pointed out, I didn't realize it till like midway through anyways. And but then I forgot immediately. Like, as I was watching, I'm like, oh, I don't know.
But you're a Star Wars fan.
Yeah, I didn't recognize him.
You didn't recognize him as Grand Moff Tarkin.
Tarkin.
Or Tarkin, yeah. Or Count Dooku either. Just
Count Dooku.
What did you think?
But I mean, the guy that blew up Alderaan.
Really. Yes,
that's the guy that blew up Alderaan.
I told her, it's like you probably know him better as standing on a battleship blowing up planets.
He's got more sunken cheekbones when you see him in Star Wars.
He has that perfect face.
What's great is in this one, he's actually
he's fully flushed.
He's got a full face.
That's why it's kind of hard to recognize him.
By the time
him
you
first.
See him in Star Wars, he's just like Skeletor. You know, it's just like all cheekbones. Yeah.
You, in a way, you have decided.
And he did the same finger thing. He says, if you do not put the garlic on her door, you have signed her death warrant.
Why doesn't anybody listen to Dr. Van Helsing? Just listen to the guy.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? He really is emphatic. I'm telling you, she will die. If you do not keep the window shut and put garlic on her door, she will die. And there's like, you know,
and what
whatever.
Does the maid do?
No, it was the maid.
The maid who took everything off, she opened the window.
All right.
I do love that scene where
that's true, it is
where
the maid.
You think the little girl's going to get it.
Oh, I thought she was going to die right away.
And then Peter Cushing shows up, and he gives her the crucifix. He's like, will you wear this pretty thing? Like, he's just so nice. And
he's
like,
so great at calming her down.
Yeah.
Oh, you look like a little teddy bear. Well, look over there, and you'll see the sun come up.
Yeah.
And over here, you're going to see a disintegrating vampire gasping his last breath.
I'm about to jam a stake in your aunt's heart, but that's okay.
Would
because...
you like to see that? No, turn around. Yeah. Watch the sunset.
Sit here, won't you?
Every time they stake somebody in this, I thought there was just going to be like a blood splatter on them, like just really inappropriately, just like, oh god.
But
it's
that
a mess.
Is pretty horrific when he gets the girl and he stabs and she makes that face.
Because I'm telling you, before this movie, it's all done off screen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You never see a stake go into somebody until this movie. And when you look,
she opens her eyes, that is absolutely creepy. Yeah. That is pretty creepy.
And everyone always says, why did you stake her first? Dracula's in the first
That's
coffin.
What I was
what
thinking.
The fuck,
and like
man.
The sun's going down, he does her first. And then when his eyes open, you're like, oh shit.
And it's the shitty part too is like he looks at Dracula first too. He's like, okay, there's but one and two. Why not kill the other
he's
one?
He's like, oh, he can wait.
I'm guessing he couldn't find him.
No, he saw him first.
He saw him first. He looked at him.
He literally looks at Dracula.
He gets distracted because then he looks at the other one and he gets so distracted like, oh, I
you know, no, you know what it was? Cleavage.
That's what it was.
Cleavage.
I think it was is she posed a threat to the little girl. Is what I think it was.
No. This is the first time he sees him. Yeah, this is Harkin.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
He stakes the girl before he goes for Dracula.
But you can almost hear it in the theater. People going, no, do Dracula first. Don't. What are you doing?
Let's do the whole village.
Is this your first staking?
Yeah.
Here's the way it works. He's the king of the vampires. You kill him, she's taken care of.
Yeah. She might go back to normal.
Yeah.
You never know.
They never go back.
I also love his little recording disc.
Oh, yeah.
His little cylinder where he's, you know, doing tips on vampire killing.
Yes.
Okay, where was I? Number three.
Number three, kill Dracula first.
Dr. Van Helsing, were you talking to someone?
Yes.
Myself.
He whips out a cigar. I was talking to myself.
I love it.
There's the door.
I'm giving it a six.
Yeah. See, Justine, that's how you use a six.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we both gave it a six.
High five.
We all did, except for her.
I need you to give it a four.
Look, if she
gave it a five.
Oh, Jake gave it a five.
You guys just didn't listen.
The thing is, if she had given it a six, that would make it as good as Casablanca, which
but
I know it
isn't.
She
gave it a four, which is two away from Casablanca.
Yeah.
So that's like an eight.
I'll drop it more. I'll give it a three.
The vagaries of Justine math.
That's still a seven.
It's half as good as Casablanca.
She's all, I wish you'd get off of that already. Every time I rate a movie, you're filtering it through
Casablanca. Okay, so this was the first movie we watched in the digital thing. And I was like, great, Body Snatchers is going to suck. I was so mad.
See?
But you know what? You lowered my expectation. That bar was low. I watched it, and I'm like, this is way better than the other
movie. That's how I've been married 15 years. Keep those expectations low.
It just happened that we watched it in that order. So next time, just give it like worst to best.
I did too, actually.
Well, there's one coming up that is going to be tough to sit through, not because it's a bad movie, but because it's very much, well...
It's a bad movie.
Fast and the Furious.
No, it's
Lawrence of Arabia.
It's very straightforward. There's no
subtext.
There's no subtext, and there's nothing flashy about
What's
it.
That?
I'm going to tell you right now.
Is that next week's movie club?
It's next week's movie club. Are you
going
guys ready?
To be?
We're going to do three movies.
Which are?
Are you ready?
Yes.
We're going to do.
Wait.
Oh wait! Now I got to look it up. Oh yeah, we have a Hitchcock coming up.
Okay.
So you have a Hitchcock. We have a Western.
Yeah, I know that one.
And we have a war picture. And the war picture is, it's good. It's just very straightforward.
Tell us in the order you want us to watch it.
Well, let's go in, if we go in release order.
No.
Think of your wife.
Think of your
wife.
Think
of your secretary.
We're
the best. The High Expectations podcast. Go low.
You want to go low? Okay, let's do them in this order.
But should you even give them an idea of which one's better?
No. But I'm just saying the one they're going to have the hardest time with is the war picture.
You think so?
Yes.
What's the picture?
It is a movie
called
with a lovely name called Pork Chop Hill.
Never heard of it.
It is with Gregory Peck.
Never heard of it.
It is based on a true story.
A movie John's never seen.
It's a true story. I'll try to bring the disc in next week because I have it on disc. If you can't find it, I'll bring it in. It's very hard to find. It was one of my dad's favorite movies because it deals with the Korean War, and it was made right after the Korean War ended. It's based on a true story. And the guy who was the technical advisor for the movie is the guy who Gregory Peck plays. It's based on an actual battle in Korea at the end of the war, right before the peace treaty was signed. So,
is it out of print? You said it's hard to come by?
It might be hard to come by, but I have it on disc, so I'll bring it in. I tried to find it today, and I couldn't find it, but I know I have it.
So you'll bring it in next week?
I'll bring it in next week if you guys can't find it. And if we have to push it back, we can make it part of... If we can't get it for next week, we'll add another movie and then we'll go back to it. But it's all the same year.
But they'll be able to digital download it, right?
Maybe. You should be able to rent it. It's not hard to find on digital. It's just hard to find a physical copy these days.
Okay.
So that's with Gregory Peck. And there's a million people in it.
Yeah, I can rent it.
George Peppard is in it.
On Amazon?
Norman Fell is in it. Rip Torn, Harry Gardino, all these people who go on to be other.
Who's the director?
Lewis Milestone.
Wow.
Lewis Milestone.
7.1 on IMDb.
Yeah, it's actually really good. It's just a very straightforward. There's not a lot of.
She might love it then.
Yeah, you might.
Are we officially out of the 50s? This is all 60s?
This is 59, so we're leaving the 50s. I think this is our last week in the 50s.
When we do the 269, can Sandy be here?
Yeah.
We'll call her in.
Yeah, we're going to call Pat Francis and we're doing 1969. We actually have a lot of movies in the 60s. So 60s, 70s. Once we get into the 80s and 90s,
we got a bunch of Bond films in this.
We have
60s,
Bond
right?
films.
Nice.
Coming.
Thank God. Yeah.
What'd you say?
So
once we get into the way?
Bond movies. Once we get into the 60s.
I love it.
Yes. I've never seen a Bond movie back then.
You're going to watch them in order.
You have Man with Golden Gun, right?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God.
That's the first one I saw in the theater.
It's my favorite one.
Really?
It's my favorite Bond
no
film.
No one's ever said that.
Most people, that's their least favorite. Yeah.
It's weird, but that's my favorite one because I owned it on VHS as a kid, and like I used to watch
it.
Was
it the first one you saw?
Yes, actually.
Diamonds Are Forever is my least favorite Bond.
It's funny. When you see that as a kid, and you're like, so when does stuff start happening? Like, it's a lot of Vegas.
Don't
you're like,
me.
When does something happen?
So what's after Porkchop Hill?
Then we have Rio Bravo.
That's what I thought.
John Wayne film.
Rio.
Which is a more straightforward Western than The Searchers. So you'll get to see what people... And this is John Wayne kind of at the height of his
not
popularity.
Blatantly racist.
And you get Dean Martin in it. And a young...
Yay.
I predict...
Wait, Dean Martin?
Dean Martin, exactly.
Hey, pal.
And I predict that Justine will fall in love with a young Ricky Nelson.
I better.
I think you're gonna.
Yeah, hey, I do like the pictures when I do have a crush on one. Yeah,
she fell in love with Jeffrey Hunter.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So Ricky Nelson, she's gonna swoon.
Yeah, and especially because they give him a chance to sing, which is weird.
Shit.
But and then after that, we're gonna watch probably my favorite Alfred Hitchcock movie, North by Northwest, with the great Cary Grant, who I think this will be his only appearance in the Digital Movie Club.
And guess who's the bad guy in North by Northwest?
Kanye West.
No.
James Mason.
You would be aboard my submersible
Kendrick
boat.
Lamar.
James Mason's the bad guy.
Mr. Thornhill, you are now aboard my submersible craft, where you will remain a prisoner till I have decided what to do with you.
And then Cary Grant says, what is this I'm eating?
John, shall we do the movie here? Let's do North by Northwest.
Judy, what am I eating?
If there's not a giant fucking squid coming out in this movie.
Mr. Thornhill, you will eat this. I made it myself. It came from the sea.
What is it? What's North by Northwest about?
I can't tell you.
It's a Hitchcock movie.
It's a thriller.
I've never seen a Hitchcock.
Yes,
Rear Window. Rear Window is the only Hitchcock
movie
I've
ever seen. Birds?
No.
This is a thriller.
Psycho?
No.
You've seen Psycho.
Vertigo? This is a thriller.
No. Vertigo?
No.
Wow. Rope?
You've never seen Psycho, the scene in the shower with the knife?
I've seen that part. I don't know anything about
that.
We
might have
to
add that to the list of movies that...
Everything's gone vertigo.
This is like the ultimate on the run
thriller.
Can I have
a divorce?
Yes.
Do you have married?
She said yes. You heard it. It's legally binding.
Guys, she said yes.
She said yes to a divorce.
You gotta go to Reno.
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
That's what I learned now. I know they kept talking about it. I'm like, Reno.
That's a quick divorce.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hello, police. My wife has been replaced by a replica. I would like very much if you would send the constable over.
See, it would be great if that instead of Siri, that's the voice you had on your phone. That's all. James?
Nemo. You call him Nemo, and instead of the kid, it's like, everybody thinks it's going to be fish. You're like, yes, how may I help you?
Nemo, where's the nearest coffee shop?
Your question is a rudimentary one, I'm afraid.
It's like, why is my phone taking forever to respond? Yeah.
Super snotty to you.
Yeah. Nemo, I'm in the Fairfax district. Where's the nearest burger place?
That is an absurd question. Of course, all good food comes from the sea, full of nutrients. But
Nemo, where can I get the unborn baby squid pudding?
Yes, you can get that at the Bell Terrace in New Orleans Square. And while you're there, please visit the Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse. It's a technical wonder. I can't stop doing James Mason.
You do a very good James
Thank
Mason.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do your Cary Grant, so we'll do it together.
It's very...
How are we doing on time, Paul?
An hour and 9 minutes.
All right. I'm going to give you some music we're going to sign off to. So what did you guys think of this batch of movies? I could tell
batch.
It was uneven.
Batch.
Oh, I was pretty upset when I saw the first one.
One out of three, not bad.
Yeah. One out of three, Dracula, and I was like, God, I'm going to hate this week.
Yeah, I like it, but I also see that I'm not mad that you don't like
it's
it.
It's dated.
It's not a movie where I'm going to be like, I'm going to be so mad if
they don't like it. It's not like Casablanca. Not at all. I'm watching this going, ooh, they're not going to like this one.
I was actually more worried about Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and I was so relieved.
That one was
No,
great.
That was good.
No, I thought that would scare the hell out of you guys.
That was pretty scary.
That was fun.
Oh, I'm so glad
you
guys.
Yeah, they said that the actress, one of the guys, I don't know who the guy was. I'm sorry, guys. Horrible with this. But his girlfriend lived next door to that actress, and what he did was he left a seed pod on the front of her porch.
Fuck that guy.
So the next morning when she opened the door, she just freaked out.
Oh, God.
That's awesome.
And was that Kevin McCarthy?
But they said, like, in the movie theaters, they had, when they were promoting, they put seed pods out, and then
great.
They had a cardboard cutout of them running away from them.
Oh, that's great.
I'm sure if I got out of the theater, I'd be freaked out.
I love that.
And to sleep, that would be
scary.
Well,
can you imagine seeing that? Okay, we live in this time, again. We have things like Black Mirror. This is like basically a Twilight Zone episode before the Twilight Zone.
Oh, it definitely felt like
Twilight Zone. How many people do you think walked out of the theater looking at their boyfriend, girlfriend, wife, or husband and went like, wait a minute. Like, or how many kids were like, are you my mother? Like, is this really my mom?
It is kind of Black Mirror.
That could freak you out the rest of the week. You're looking at people going, yeah.
I did see a preview for a new movie coming out that I'm excited for.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
No, Welcome to My Neighborhood.
Is it kind of the same thing?
No.
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
It's the Mr. Rogers documentary.
Oh, dude. I tear up.
Right? Watching the preview, I started to cry.
I tear up watching the preview.
Like, oh, my God.
Because he was such a nice, just a nice. If you go on YouTube and
so
watch where he has to go on, because Nixon wants to cut funding to PBS, and they have this whole, it's like a taped inquiry of him going before the Senate. And just explaining why they need to save like programming for children, and he's just saying, look, it's all these cartoons. They're violent, and the kids don't have a place for them to just like decompress and feel safe. And he just goes and he reads his speech, and like the senator at first is like, it's like some right out of The Godfather where the senator's like, he's grilling him at the end. He's like, I think this is wonderful. He's like, I think he said something like, you got your money, Rogers. And like, something like that, yeah.
That movie looks like it's going to be fantastic.
It's on YouTube. Find it.
That's so great.
It's amazing.
Rogers, you got your money.
Yeah, seriously, it's like something out of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
And there's also going to be a movie with Tom Hanks playing Mr. Rogers.
Oh.
So it's two different things. Documentary is already out.
Yeah. It's coming out soon, I think.
And then Tom Hanks is going to play him, yeah.
But that one looks like it's going to make me cry.
Yeah, I probably will. My wife and I were watching it. We went to see, when we saw Olive Dogs.
That's where I
saw
it, yeah.
We're like, me and Nicole are like tearing up.
I know.
Because we grew up with Mr. Rogers, man. Love it. All right.
Hey, neighbor.
Won't
you
Hauser
be my neighbor?
Ever on? Can you imagine if Hauser and Mr. Rogers had met?
Can you imagine the two of them together?
They would have just hugged. It would have just been a hug fest.
Yes, it would have been, I love you.
You telling me this little puppet's King Friday the 13th?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
You mean you stick your hand right up amazing. In there and you make him talk?
That's amazing.
What kind of devilry is this?
So Daniel Tiger's not a real tiger? That's amazing.
That's amazing. I was wondering, when I'd watch at home, I just thought you and him all trained up. Now I find out he's not even a real
tiger. It'd be great if Mr. Rogers is all, are you for real? For the first time, he's like, really? Yeah. Are you making fun of me?
Yeah, Mr. Rogers is probably like, well, you're not, everyone can be as bright as everyone else, but we love you just the same. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for joining us for the Digital Movie Club, guys. Again, for next time, 2 weeks from now, Porkchop Hill, Rio Bravo, and North by Northwest. All right, who's excited? You guys haven't seen any of these, right?
I've not seen any of these, no.
I haven't seen Porkchop Hill.
All
Which
right.
I'm impressed we're going to talk about a movie John's never seen.
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to be exciting.
It's pretty straightforward. It's a pretty straightforward.
But still.
Yeah, but it's good.
John's seen everything.
Not everything.
It is endorsed by my pop, who is a Korean War veteran. He said that is the most realistic thing he's ever. It's not super gory, but for him, he just said that was pretty much how it was, and it was pretty realistic. But still fake.
Well, remember what I think. What was it? What was the guy? Sam Peckinpah? No, Sam Fuller. somebody was saying, we want to make this war picture as realistic as possible. And Sem 4 said, unless you got somebody on the other side of the screen shooting at the audience, you can't make it like it was.
Yeah.
You can make it real to a point, and then unless you're firing at the audience, it's not going to be the same thing.
Exactly true. Yeah. Okay, so thank you guys for joining us. We gave shout-outs. I'll remember to retweet that picture. And so for Jake, I love you.
Love you too.
John, I'm glad you're not a replicant.
Okay. Not yet.
Justine.
You know how fun that would have been to leave that theater, though, and be like, just like emotionless?
Yeah.
Just freak that
guy. Yeah. If you're on a date, just walk down the aisle.
Yeah.
He's like, what'd you think of the movie?
What do you mean? I thought it was nice.
Like, yeah. I didn't think anything.
I'm walking home.
I'm sorry. Is this a documentary? I fell asleep during the movie.
I'm sorry. I was asleep. I've just woken up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, what's a movie?
Scary.
Justine, you are you're nice and people like you.
And people are now saying keep it six.
Is that true?
I think somebody made a joke like that. I think Posada Geek said something like that.
Patrick, you are an artistic wonder. You're squandering your talents here, but I appreciate you coming in every week. And, you know,
thanks.
Why don't you draw a picture of Justine for them?
She moves too much.
I know, he never wanted to draw a picture of me.
Why don't you draw like one like one of your French girls?
Like he just didn't think it would come out right, and then it would be like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, because then she doesn't like it. Yeah,
it's hypercritical of myself already. So then I'm doing something I actually care about. It's just like shit.
You shouldn't be. You do good work. That was nice. Renee,
it's the only nice thing he said.
Unfortunately, probably next week will be the last week you're with us for a little while.
Probably.
Where are you going?
No, he's not going anywhere. He's going to be here, but things are changing behind the scenes here. Mm-hmm. Nothing that will affect our podcast, but except for the fact that I'll be on the boards more.
Shit.
Yep. Damn it.
Renee! We'll be like, shouting. Will you be on the inside of the door?
I'll be outside, yeah.
So we'll be going, Renee!
Oh, my God.
Which button is it?
I walked out during
How do you turn this thing on?
The last episode, and I didn't realize, because I didn't know where that song came from when you guys were playing it. All I said was like, this is just a ridiculous song. It was that pop song. I think it was like a Titans song or something.
Oh, yeah. Teen Titans Go.
Teen Titans.
So I was listening to it. I'm like, this is what happened when I left.
And
I'm
you heard the whole thing.
I'm like, you guys are crazy.
You heard that little vacation song?
My volume was up, so I was listening. Because what happened was like some of our voices were pretty low, so I had to put the volume up pretty high.
We do that on purpose.
Yeah, we got to get closer to the mic.
And then all of a sudden, it just like went loud, and I just put down that volume.
Oh, God.
There you go. You found it for me.
That was your
the song
tune,
I don't want to
your tool
listen to.
Tune? Yeah. I'm going to listen to that right now. Well, we have another song we're going to say goodbye to. So I'm going to start it now. But for John, for Patrick, for Justine, for Jake, for Renee on those boards, we say this transmission ends now. And if you can, if possible. Oh, I got to turn the volume up here. There we go. Fight the power. Fight the power. Goodbye, everybody.